How we all been? Had a good week?
Yes.
Trust we're getting into the mode of the new year. It's hard to get out of that Christmas, New Year, holiday sort of relaxed sort of thing and just get back into the daily grind and do all the things that we have to do every day. Get back into work life, school, church, whatever it may be. But it's a bit of a drag sometimes, isn't it? But we had the great joy of granddaughter Rebecca and her husband Tom have been down Friday. They were going back to Brisbane, so we took them out to lunch, and I thought, this is really good, just sitting back here, relaxing and having lunch and just, you know, hang time, as the kids call it, or whatever. But so it is good, but life goes on, doesn't it? And we have to get back to reality, get back into our church routine, the things that God wants us to do, his plans and purposes for each one of us, and just get about doing those things. But so we just have to put our heads down and get about it and get on with the things of life and all that sort of thing. But today I just want to speak about a bit about the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, but about most of all how God has blessed us. How blessed are we to live in a nation like that? But I want to just look back at our Christian heritage right from the very beginning, when God spoke to the Old New Testament prophets and took each one aside, and he spoke into their lives. But we know that... I'm sure each one of us are proud of our family heritage, but our Christian heritage, when we look back on it, how did it begin, you know? How did it all come to pass? And so today, particularly as we're celebrating Australia Day in a couple of weeks' time, I've been thinking a lot lately about, you know, how blessed we are to live in a nation like Australia, amen? How blessed we are. And I've been looking at a few passages of Scripture, and I was drawn to thinking about prosperity and blessing. Prosperity and blessing. We lack nothing, do we? We lack nothing, but praise God, we live in a land, you know, where every person is entitled to a government benefit. So there's always that aid there, you know, and so that. But for those who work and provide that living, you know, we are so really blessed that God has given us so much, and we are so blessed. But I just felt I needed to share something closer to my heart about the nation's Christian heritage and beginnings. And God has blessed us so much, you know, that he's blessed us so much that we often don't even realise how we know we're just receiving blessing after blessing after blessing. And, you know, we just go about doing things, receiving, we get this, we take this, all this sort of thing. And God continually just pours out his goodness and abundance upon us. Amen? So it's a wonderful thing. And we just sung, how great is our God? How great, you know, our God is awesome. Amen? Our God is awesome. And so right from his time of creation, you know, we were always on God's mind, and his heart was to continually pour out his abundance and bring blessing upon his people. Amen? And just want to share a bit this morning, one particular person, and I go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 32, chapter 32, verses 22 to 27. And it's the heading of this portion of scripture is wrestling with God. And here we see Jacob. And as we read this, and the word says, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over to over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over where he had Then Jacob was left alone. Just take this in. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. And it goes on to say, so he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And there we see, I think it's just a wonderful account there, how Jacob, who was a man of God, a man who God promised to bless. And as we know that Jacob, he had that particular time, he was already quite wealthy. He had great possessions of animals and all these things he accumulated. Yet Jacob, he had been in conflict all of his life. All of his life, there was conflict around him. He had conflict with his brother Esau. He had conflict with his father Isaac. He had conflict with his father-in-law Laban and his wives Leah and Rachel. And Jacob wasn't one to surrender easy. His name Jacob, it means supplanter. And which means a person that gives, they take something that doesn't belong to them. Like Jacob's inheritance, he took that by, but here we just see how God wanted to bless Jacob and that, as we see there, but Jacob had to submit. He had to submit. And we see that he struggled all night. He struggled all night and he just refused to quit he wouldn't let go, and he demanded a blessing from his opponent, who was God. He didn't realise that at the time. He just said, as the word says, he wrestled with a man. As the scripture unfolds, we see how he wrestled with God. But Jacob, until daybreak came, and he said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Until you bless me. And so that's... I feel it's something that we need to take into our own heart. That, you know, often we have times of struggle and hardship or whatever that might be, and we really sort of wrestle with God, don't we? We put up all these arguments and all that sort of thing and struggle to just come to that place where we say, yes, God, I surrender. You know, I give it all to you. But as we know, you know, God's blessings, they're not all about material wealth and gain, but it's about letting go. If you want God to bless you, well, we have to surrender. We have to let go of the old and just allowing God to come in and to allow the new to grow and outflow in us and in our everyday living and living and being living examples of Jesus Christ living in us, about letting go, letting go. And so we come to the words of Jesus in Luke in chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. It emphasises here what it means when he says, if anyone would come to and follow me, for whoever would save his life and lose it, but whoever loses his life, even for my sake, will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? So here in that scripture in Luke there, the writer there really emphasises the words of Jesus there about it's about denying ourselves to be a part of the blessing. Amen? Denying ourselves and just to be a part of what God wants to do in our life, no matter the cost, no matter the cost. And so it's, you know, it's about all for Jesus, I surrender. I give everything we give to him, amen? Everything. But for myself, I'm very thankful that I live in Australia, and by world standards, you know, I have much. We all have much. I thank God for my spiritual, material and blessings. And I enjoy that I enjoy every day. I'm grateful for everything that God has done in my mind. When that seed was planted, God's blessing was upon me. God's blessing was upon you. But today, as we be celebrating Australia Day in a few weeks' time, I just want to see that, you know, that the true blessing and my inheritance and living in this so-called lucky country, you know, that it was, this country was built on a Christian heritage. And we're freedom of those who, before me, before us, before you, you know, they were allowed to declare the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The gospel had the freedom to be spoken, and that the name of Jesus was up held and declared that Jesus was the Christ. And so that freedom right from the beginning, that was our heritage and what this country, this land was formed upon. But in order for us to receive the blessing and peace of God, like us all, you know, as I just said a moment ago, it's about surrendering ourselves to God, amen? Just surrendering ourselves to God. And I just say this morning, you know, if that's you today, if there's someone here that's having a real struggle, and I believe there's someone here today that's had a heck of a week. They're in a turmoil and they don't know which way to turn. And if that's you today, well, let it go and say, God, I surrender. Take charge of my life. I want you to work it out, Lord. I cannot do it any longer. If that's you today, well, today don't leave without speaking to someone. And like us all, you know, I said, if we struggle, we just have to get down and do business with God, don't we? Because at the end of the day, it's only you and God. You know, we have everyone around us at this very moment. But something, things change quick, don't they? Things happen. But when those things happen, it's only you and God. You know, you can only, you can talk, as I said, we can reach out and ask and seek guidance, but at the end, it's only you and God who allows you to work it out. And over the holiday period, I went to the Test cricket match, and as they played the national anthem, I just found myself just doubling up, and my stomach was going like this, you know. And all this emotion just swelled up in me, you know. And as I sang the words, you know, I thought, Lord, Lord, do these people really know? Do these people really know how blessed we are? The freedom we have, the country we live in, the things that we enjoy, everything that you've given us, and my whole child. My whole childhood just sort of come up before me, and just thought about, you know, as a young person, as a young man, just how fortunate that I was. Just to be able to experience this golden soil, this wealth of toil. And growing up and just being a part of a growing nation. And and as I grow up and into my working life and the places that I work, there's so many places, great company names around Melbourne. I used to do installation work, service work. I worked on the Tullamarine Airport. I was there when the first load of concrete was poured there. I installed the big concrete batching plants. But, you know, just growing up and working on the largest iron ore project in Australia, in Mount Newman in Western Australia, you know, that I was so blessed to be a part of, you know, all this, what we sing about. But as I said, during that singing the national anthem of at the cricket ground, I thought, Lord, Lord, do these people know? Do we know? Do we appreciate? Are we grateful for that? Everything that God's given us, poured out his blessing upon us and that. And as we know, no other nation has ever been blessed with the title Southland of the Holy Spirit. No other nation has been blessed with the title of the Southland of the Holy Spirit. Australia del Espirito Santo, translated Southland of the Holy Spirit. Our Christian heritage is a precious gift. It's a precious gift. And as we know, our Father, God in heaven, he laid the foundations from the very beginning through his creative handiwork and the covenant he made with our forefathers. And it was to be an everlasting memorial for us as men and women of God to walk in his ways and to serve him all the days of our life. And as I mentioned, you know, a godly inheritance has been given to us, a godly inheritance, not just something handed down from men, but a godly inheritance and passed on down through generation after generation by God for God's people. And it's something, you know, that's not to be despised or rejected. Our heritage is a precious thing. It's a precious thing. And it's not to be lost, given away, and that. And the same can be said about our salvation. It's not to be given away. That's yours. That's yours. And as we know, God-given gifts, they are eternal. They last forever. And so today, as we're approaching Australia Day celebration in a few weeks' time, I would just like to revisit something which I spoke about a few years ago. I think it's about 5 years ago. I spoke about the Southland of the Holy Spirit. And just like to speak about that again today. And in the year 1906, De Quiros became the first recorded European explorer to actually lay claim to Australia. And praise God, this man just happened to be a believer. He was a believer. And it's somewhat, I suppose you could say, it's somewhat strange that a Portuguese navigator had an influence on our Australian Christian heritage, that the land be dedicated to the Holy Spirit. And in the Hebrew language, names not only indicate character, but also the happenings, as I read that portion about Jacob, how our heritage was, blessing was given, and our heritage was formed there. I ask the question, you know, what does this suggest for our destiny of Australia? No other nation on earth has been blessed with the title Southland of the Holy Spirit. No other nation but Australia. And De Quiros, as I said, De Quiros was a man of faith and he had great missionary zeal. He was convinced that God had chosen him to discover and bring the gospel to Terra Australia, Australasia. And on the eve of his voyage, when he was setting out on this journey, his prayer was, and he prayed, and a part of his prayer was this, he prayed that it may show greater lands and other things. He prayed for greater are my desires, that our King, our Lord, may deign to grant all still greater favours. He prayed that greater things, and he prayed still greater favours. And I think that was a wonderful thing there, that his prayer there. But as he sailed into the waters of the Pacific and sighting land, he took possession of it, calling it the Southland of the Holy Spirit. And he went on to pray and say, let the heavens, the earth, the waters with all their creatures and all those here present witness that I, Captain Pedro Fernandes de Quiros, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hoist this emblem of the Holy Cross on which his person, Jesus Christ, was crucified and whereon he gave his ransom and remedy for all human race. And on this day of Pentecost, 14th of May, 1606, I take possession of this part of the south as far as the pole in the name of Jesus, which from now on shall be called Southland of the Holy Ghost, and this always and forever, and to the end of all, and to the end, that to all natives in the said lands the holy and sacred evangel may be preached zealously and openly. That was this man's prayer from the beginning, from the moment he sighted land. He hoisted that emblem up and prayed and said, I name this, claim this land in the name of Jesus. And he called it the Southland of the Holy Ghost. What an awesome thing But there we see, though, the foundation was laid. The foundation was laid that the word would be proclaimed and preached zealously and openly. There would be freedom. What an awesome honour for Australia. What an awesome honour. This great Southland wasn't claimed for king of country. It was claimed for God in the name of Jesus. Amen. What a great and awesome thing. And I just ask the question, if we just let the magnitude of that, the word sink in, you know that no other nation on the face of the earth, on the face of God's earth, bears the name, nor has borne the name Southland of the Holy Spirit. And I just said, what an awesome honour, what an awesome privilege for Australia. And I'm sure even now that most Australians are completely unaware of the honour that was bestowed upon this country. And so I say, you know, well, shouldn't we be confessing and believing that that word that was spoken, that prayer that was prayed over this nation at that time? And I believe that we just should really be confessing that, because that's our godly foundation and destiny as part of people to come into this land and be a great part of it. But as we know, God laid the foundation a long time ago. But in Psalm 33, verse 12, it says there, what joy for a nation whose God is Lord. Amen? What joy for the nation whose God is Lord, whose people he has chosen for his own or for his inheritance, safe and secure under God's protection. Safe and secure. And we are safe and secure. But today, I ask the question, now, is Australia really a Christian nation? Don't say yes or no. You don't have to. But I ask, you know, where have we come from as a nation? What is our true history? What are the foundations of this nation? Where are we going? What is our destiny? What is our destiny? We might ask, why wasn't Australia colonised by the Muslims or the Hindus or the Chinese? Have you ever wondered why Australia was not colonised long before it was? Why was this vast expanse of land set so far away from other places of the nations of the earth? Why? Why didn't the Muslims colonise this place? After all, they were visiting our shores for hundreds of years before the Europeans came. Just take that into consideration. They were visiting this country long before it was even James Cook discovered Australia, or the Dirk Hardog, I think it was, the other one on Western Australia side. For centuries, these people, they regularly sailed to our shores to trade with the local natives up there in north, around sort of Darwin-type region. And they came here regularly to trade with the local natives, to fish for trepang and turtles and shells. They done all that sort of thing. They interbred with the local Aboriginals, even taking them back to the homeland. It took Aboriginal people to their country. But remember, you know, they were seafaring people that explored and colonised much of the Southeast Asia, including all the Indonesian archipelago. But they never set up permanent colonies here. Why not? Why didn't they do it? They certainly had plenty of opportunity. And it was the same with the Chinese. They were some of the greatest explorers of their day. But they also colonised much of Southeast Asia. But they stopped short of coming to Australia. I'm just building up a little thing here, but what about the Hindus? They colonised Bali, which is only a few hundred kilometres across the Afura Sea from Australia's north coast. But they too stopped short of coming to Australia. Why didn't they sail the last few kilometres and claim this land? But I believe, like my forefathers, that the Lord's hand, that God's hand had been upon this nation since time immortal. God has always been on our mind. And I put the question on earlier, is Australia a Christian nation? Of course it is. Of course it is. Because God, it was claimed in God's name, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. God hasn't changed his mind and he doesn't change his mind, amen? We know that. But this country was claimed in faith in Jesus' name and it will be continued to be touched by Jesus because you are here doing that. Every one of us, or we should be doing that, just pushing, increasing the kingdom of God in this great land. But it's still the great safe land of the Holy Spirit and it will always be that. And God's Spirit is still moving in a powerful way. And the word is still being powerfully preached and the God's kingdom still continues to grow. Amen? So our early historians, they all felt it was strange and particularly one fairly well-known person, Professor Manning Clark, but he always said there was something peculiar as to why that these other nations that came to our shores never claimed this place or took settled here. He said there was something more than meets the eye. This man, not a Christian man, but he was convinced there was some greater power intervened that, he just couldn't quite understand. But it's also interesting to note that Australia was known by all these other countries that I just mentioned. They just seen this as the land of the Antichrist. That's how they viewed this great expanse of land. And the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't going to be given over to false religions. That's what I was leading up to. Because God's hand was upon this land, it was claimed in the name of Jesus and nothing was going to change that by any of these other countries of false religions coming in and settling in this place. But just like to read a portion of scripture in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, it's about, I'll just read it here, what it says. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to my word, the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that they may rise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the words of God, but keep his commandments. So there is a great encouraging scripture there of how that we just are, excuse me, as it tells us, you know, that we are to speak about our heritage. My father and had great, wonderful parents who just loved to speak about the past. I'm getting close to time, wind up here, but just loved to speak about, you know, what had happened before, you know, we were born and the things, and just to listen to them just speaking about the old life, how they done their washing in a kerosene tin out in the over a fire in the backyard and all that sort of thing, how they forged the land, how they had to clear the scrub, not clear country to sow this land, you know, to reap this golden grain, you know. It's just been a wonderful harvest right across Australia this year. Just God, this year, just he says, I'll bring showers of rain, showers of blessing at the right time. And God has touched this country again. And, you know, in all his goodness, God continually looks to us and brings goodness upon his people. You know, as I said, is Australia a Christian nation? Well, it is, of course it is. But, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus. A lot of people who don't even give thanks to God. There are probably hundreds and thousands of farmers just reaped a bountiful, one of the best harvests in history of grains and lentils and beans and all that sort of stuff. Everything is just grown in abundance. But how many of them are given thanks to God for all his goodness? God and his faithfulness, that God will continue to bless those who are with him and those who are not. And so it's just a wonderful thing. But I think I better wind up here, but just felt I'd like to share that, you know, that about our Christian heritage, right from the time that God blessed Jacob. And so it come down our lineage right through generation to generation to where we are today. But to come to a land that's been blessed by God, God is still blessing us, still wants to bless us even greater. As the Quirus prayed in his prayer, even greater things and greater favour. And I think that's still yet to come, that God's still got something, not up his sleeve, as we say, but God is still waiting for people to turn to him. And as they come to have that realization and see what God is doing, that he is still willing to pour out his goodness in spite of people not wanting to come to know him. And so let us just stand together as we come to a close this morning and just pray for this great nation, that we just continue to uphold the spiritual heritage, that foundation that was formed long ago because God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would come to him would have eternal life. What a precious promise. What an awesome thing for us that we had that opportunity to become children of God. Father God, we just thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand shoulder to shoulder. Men of all your people coming together. Many of us, all from different nations, different backgrounds, different heritage, Lord, but we come as one. We come as one united with our hearts and spirits and joined together. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful hope that you have given us. And Lord, that we will share that. We will tell our story to generation after generation. Lord, but of your word, and as your word instructs us to teach our children, to tell our children, Lord, that we will speak of your wondrous deeds. All the glory goes to you, Father. We bless you this day. And Father, for this nation, Lord, we just again bring it before you, Father. Lord, for those who are in you will continue to be influenced, others who don't know you, those who don't know Jesus. We just pray, Father, that your word will just go forth like a Lord, for the way that you've just poured out the rains upon this and things grew in a wonderful way. Lord, let your spirit just reach out in the same vein, Lord, that goodness will come. Goodness will grow, Father. Lord, and your people will rejoice and be glad. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.